Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Time is a gift, and we have been given a new year of this gift. 2020 has arrived, and we are glad to have said goodbye. 2021 has arrived, and we're glad to have said goodbye to 2020. One of my friends who lives in the country at midnight, bringing in the new year, took out his 12-gauge shotgun, went on the front porch, and shot 2020 away. He had a few words with that parting prayer. We're glad to have it behind us, and yet we know that in the gift of this new year, there are challenges which are still ahead of us. It's not just a one and done of where we have been, but it's where we have been with God that prepares us for what is ahead of us. That's the gift. That in 2020, we learned not to take any gift for granted. And in 2021, we are ready to have learned and apply what we received in the growth of our character and the eyes of our faith from the year in which we have just lived through. My prayer for you is that you have set a hope for this year, a hope to be able to survive and to thrive, a hope to be able to soar and to walk and not grow weary because you're being held in God's presence, as the prophet Isaiah said, that in this year, for me personally, it is a resolution of what the Apostle Paul wrote about in four of the shortest verses in all the Bible. It helps me because they're brief. It's easy to kind of get access to them. Rejoice continually. Pray always. Be grateful in all circumstances, for they are from God through Christ Jesus. And do not quench the Spirit. These four verses, I'm praying that in this year will grow my capacity as I yearn their fulfillment in my life and for us as a church family and our service in the world, and then also will expand the contentment to be able to live in the moment while also being underway of what God is wanting to do. Christians across the globe on this day, the first Sunday of the year, are celebrating the gift of Epiphany. That's the word that means a revelation of God. It means a dawning light. It means an awareness. It means that our spiritual intuition has connected with a promise of God for us to claim and to live by. The traditional passage on this Sunday is to read, as Ben and Jenny read for us, the story of the three magi and the story of the gifts that they brought. For they saw the star in the sky, and they followed where it was going to lead them. The light of awareness. You've had epiphanies this year. You may have said some of them with curse words in your private prayer language. But in your language from when you have said amen, God took your awareness of what seemed to be doomed, and in his hands, they became the mighty power of God to be revealed through you and your circumstances. That's what Paul is getting about when he wrote, "Be grateful always, because they are gifts of God in your circumstances through Christ Jesus." That's the key, through Christ Jesus. And the epiphany, this light that God provides for us, is part of why many people, not all, but many people, have fireworks and skyrockets on New Year's Eve. I don't know if you've already been asleep for 2 hours before New Year's Day arrived. But for Vicki and I, we had a sleepover with our grandkids, and all three were there. One was asleep, but a 5 and 7-year-old joined us on the balcony looking at the fireworks and the skyrockets being displayed not far away. And in feeling their excitement and taking that in my own self, I felt myself feeling hope. I'm a person of hope. Hope kind of reigns in my understanding of God at work in life. But I was feeling, it was leaning into, there is promise for what is ahead of us. And as we enter this year, we can enter it as people of hope who look at the dire circumstances of any situation and to be able to see the promise of God to be at work. And so frequently God will want to answer that prayer through you in order for his will to be accomplished. That's where these magi are helpful for us. You know, in the Christmas story, we have different angles by which to see the miracle of miracles, the birth of the Messiah into our world. We have the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, an older generation. We have a story of the youngest generation in Mary and the man that she would marry in Joseph and the troubling circumstances of the beginning of their relationship. We have the story of Anna and Simeon in the temple giving blessing to the Christ child being brought for consecration and circumcision. We have the story of the shepherds and the angels singing out on the shepherd's field and going to see the child in swaddling cloth. In the story of the Magi, what we have is an encounter maybe 2 years later. It's a story about three people who weren't residents of Israel. These are a story of people who are part of the international community. And as they are on their travels, they have much to teach us. The Bible itself is a multicultural book. It is a book written in many languages and many angles and perspectives, but all pointing to the same Lord, the same promise of Christ Jesus. And in the consistency of the scripture, we find this diversity which enriches our life, even as each day has diverse experiences, then it can enrich the meaning of each day. For each day has 1,440 minutes. This year we'll have 525,600 minutes. Each of those are part of this gift of God in life. Each of these, for me and my prayer, is to rejoice always, pray continually, be grateful in all circumstances, for they are from God through Christ Jesus, and do not quench the Spirit. Now, in some of the promises, they take a while to be able to see the pathway by which I'm to live them. But it doesn't mean they're not yet there, with expanded eyes of faith, with an epiphany to see them. You know, right now, the sunlight that our earth is receiving is coming from that star of our solar system from 93 million miles away. And it takes, once that light is emitted, it takes 8.3 minutes to travel from there to here. The light that we're receiving right now was already sent 8.3 minutes ago. We're just now receiving it. And so in the promises of God, they have been given through the course of time. They're arriving in our life now, and we are needing to take them in and let them show us the light of how to live this January 3rd and all of this year. And I'm going to talk specifically about ways that we do that. But first, be open to set your life direction through worship. Go Godward. Where is your GPS sending you? Three of the key verses in the story of the three magi, or the magi, each of them have the word worship included. Verse 2, verse 8, and verse 11. The magi began their journey, as we see in verse 2, motivated by the desire to worship the Messiah. Worship the Messiah for all humanity. To worship the one whom God had promised long ago, but now had arrived in the human form that we could be in relationship with the redemptive love of God and to be able to see this promise. So when they saw the star in the sky, they knew that the time had arrived in their lives for them to do their part, to make their journey, to be faithful in their opportunity. And in that, they have given us a gift of how we may do this within our lives. Where is the one, they asked, as they arrived in Jerusalem, who is known as the City of Peace? These wise men, who had studied the Hebrew scriptures, because during a difficult time in Israel's history, 500 and 600 years earlier, when the people of the Old Testament were in captivity in the faraway land of Persia or Iran today, in Babylon or Iraq today, when they were there, they were taking the scriptures, they were praying them, they were writing them, they were worshiping through the scriptures, and others in their culture got into the scriptures with them. People like Daniel and the prophet Ezekiel was living that land, and like Daniel, who was a magi, helped to set a pattern that these three magi then followed in a like course. See, the studying of these scriptures had told them that a promise that was given long ago now had arrived, and that they were to be part of that promise story that they too would go to the promised land as adventurers, because from the land from which they came, it was Abraham and Sarah long ago, as people of faith, had been told of a promised land where they made that 600-mile journey to arrive on location. They were scholars who had studied the scriptures. They were astronomers who looked at the canvas of the sky and the landscape of the earth to find their way and to see what God was seeking to show. Some of you were in Bible study early this morning by Zoom or by Facebook Live or by live stream, just as you are in worship right now. And you were studying Psalm 8 and the remarkable story about God's great creation, and yet he has made us a little lower than the angels. This sense of the wonder, this sense of yearning and capacity stirred the growth of a great, powerful understanding for the Magi to trust God and to make the journey. We can't choose the time in which we live, can we? Who would have volunteered to say, Lord, I think, yeah, I want to live in 2020. And yet, we were in 2020. And it was a time to survive and to thrive. And as you have set your New Year's hopes or resolutions in this year, I first want you to give yourself a pat on the back. I mean, you made it. You're here. And as you have arrived here, take that sense of, I can do this attitude, and then make sure it's connected to the light of Christ. Make sure it's connected to the promise of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And take those lessons learned by what you have accomplished in this year in light of him. Now, part of what God's grace does in faith, we have faith in God's reset button. God's reset button is the capacity to take any circumstances and to reshape them within his promise. If they're merely a problem, he wants you to see them as a promise. And when we can push a reset button of God's grace through faith, it's what makes our lives to be able to soar in singing, as the wise men must have felt the singing in their soul as they made their journey west. It was a reset button for all of the world then and today. It was a reset button for King Herod. We find then, in the second part of this moving story, that we can see what is going on through worship, for God clarifies. We can see our circumstances in light of God. And so my question is, how is your vision? The GPS is the global positioning system, where we know that we can simply pull out, or on our car, we can plug in some numbers, we have an address where we want to go, and it will tell us maybe the best way to get there. Though I've shared some of you the story, I was trying to make one of our churches retreat up in East Texas. I hadn't been to that location before. And I set it, and I pulled into a farm, and I thought, okay, well, it's not what I thought. And I kept on going down a country lane, and I found myself going across an earthen bridge between two ponds. And I thought, I don't think this is it. I backed off the earthen bridge, drove to the barn. A farmer came out smiling and says, you're using your GPS, aren't you? I said, yeah. That kind of global positioning system has also its flaws, though very helpful for people like me. But in God's global positioning system, the star in the sky was shining a promise that the one born for all can get us to our destination by a relationship, and a relationship within the Christ can enable us to live each day in a victory through the power of his promise, as we are willing to accept that. Now, the story of that promise also comes to clarify the circumstances. We find then in Matthew 2:8, that as they went to Herod and they asked the question, because he was the king of the land, one of the most brutal rulers in all of Israel's history and all of the Roman Empire. Herod was a man who only was in it for himself, was afraid of anything that would seek to threaten his power. Many of you know the story. He would kill his sons. He killed a couple of his wives. He is one who set a decree that when he died, that one child from each family should be killed because he wanted the people of Israel to mourn his death, and they would not mourn it. When they heard of his death, they would have given a celebration. But if they lost one of their own, then they would be in sorrow. By God's grace, that order was not carried out. But we do find in this story some of what he was willing to do in genocide was done. So when the wise men came, they may have heard of Herod, but they had not met him in person before. While they were in his audience, Herod played the game, and that's what he was good at. He asked his wise men to come to join him. His people who had knew the scriptures said, "Tell me where the Messiah is to be born." They said, "In Bethlehem, the city of David. You will not be least among these in the nation of Israel." So Herod had the Magi again come to him who traveled from the east. He told them the destination. And then he said, I want you to come back and tell me where he is, that I too may go and worship him. Now, the Magi made the journey truly wanting to worship, like you today here in the sanctuary, like you and are joining together on live streaming. We're coming together in the power of worship, truly knowing that the wonder of God is the power of life. The grace of Jesus is how our sins forgiven. The courage the Holy Spirit gives us is to be able to overcome any obstacle set before us through the power of God. This is the living relationship whom we come to worship. But for Herod, when he said to worship, he was so angry at people that they weren't satisfied in worshiping him, a demigod, a self-made god, corrupt inside out. And something of the wise men set off an alarm inside of them. And the alarm was saying, "I don't think he's trustworthy." Because what worship also enables us to do, it enables us to see what is going on with the eyes of faith. Not self-judgment, but the sense of asking God, "Help me to understand these larger circumstances in which I am living and what they are about." With the reset button that Herod, in God's grace, God was giving even Herod another opportunity. Another opportunity to say, "I am sorry, I have sinned, I have abused the power, I have abused the promise of my life, but I come now at the latter stage of my life. The Messiah is born, I am glad, and I give myself to him." If Herod had said that, by the faith reset button of God's grace, God would have said, "Herod, welcome into the family. Welcome into this kingdom, the kingdom of God." But instead, the reset button that he pushed was no. When it could have been the great yes. And when he said no, then like the Pharaoh of old, his hardened heart became even harder. Self-will, the freedom of will, becoming resistant and stubborn and then hardened. And so the wise men went. The epiphany, the star, showed them the location of the house where the Christ was to be born. And what a gathering we can imagine that was. I don't know if you like to watch classics during the Christmas season, but one of the classics I like to watch is a story of Charlie Brown's Christmas. Some of you recall that it is as popular today as it was in 1965. It is one that has stood the course of time. But when CBS asked Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanut comic strip, if he would create an animated movie of the Peanut characters around the Christmas story, Charles Schulz, who was a strong believer, Schulz who felt called into ministry, but his call to ministry did not take him to the place of becoming a pastor, but he took the gift of his enjoyment of drawing and etching and forming words, because he was a Minnesotan, and as a person from Minnesota, he also felt what it was like to live through the dark winters. And he experienced depression in his life. It was part of his mental challenge in life. And so he created this cast of characters in Peanuts, and Charlie Brown, as most of you know, was the lead character. And so he told the authorities at CBS, I'll only do it if you really let me tell the story of Christmas. If you allow me to tell the story of the birth of Christ. They hemmed and hawed, but because he was so successful, the strip was so popular, they said yes. And so he did. And one of the biggest hits continuing even to today. As you look at that manger scene, you see there's also one of the characters there is Linus. And Linus is the one who was always carrying around his security blanket. You can notice in the series, in the episode, Linus drops his blanket when the passage, "Fear not," is spoken. He does pick it up later. But he picks it up later and he puts it around the Christmas tree, which is just a little scrawny tree. And he places it around the tree and he says, sometimes things only need a little love. And the tree began to straighten up and get tall and stretch. The fear was placed at the foot of the promise. And God allowed strength to come. And the promise of your life, so it is, that God speaks a promise to you. That you're at the manger scene. Your life, just as it is, your part to play. And that as you look at each day in this year, each minute of each hour of each day of 168-hour week, take your hope of what you had hoped for in 2020 and put it into play each day in 2021. Allow then your mind to be curious about what God is up to be curious about your life, to be curious about others, to be curious about what's going on in our world in a way that will connect you to the light to see your world through God's eyes. Take your heart to feel. Your heart to feel on behalf of others. To connect in the hearts of others, even though we can't get together in the same ways that we want to, and we will this year, we will be able to get back together as we have wanted to. But our life is not on hold till then. Allow your heart to be connected to others in all the ways that you can communicate, including through prayer, and love them with your heart language. Allow your body, with whatever is going on in your body, first to be open to the healing where there is illness. Allow your body to be attentive with exactly where you are in your physical life. Be a good steward of your body. Let it bring its best for you. Take care of your body. Use good nutrition. Use the exercise. Get good sleep. Allow your body, though, to be part of an offering of yourself into the world, to be of service in the world. Even as we've been careful with our bodies not to be exposed to the COVID-19 germ, that we can allow our bodies to be exposed and at risk in the adventure of having our hands placed in the service of God because we have placed the year into the hands of God. Now, what's striking to me is in verse 11 of chapter 2, when the Magi arrived at the manger scene, they did what they set out to do. They didn't lose their focus, though it was a long distance. They weren't deterred by the obstacles, though there were many. When they arrived on the scene, they remember why they went. And when they arrived, then they worshiped the Christ. They worshiped the child. They had the eyes to see that this is of whom had been prophesied. This is what the star is seeking to reveal. This is a living relationship that in all of God's wisdom, he chose to become like us. The miracle of miracles would choose to become a human being. But in doing so, he said there's a blessing for every child born, every person alive of each age. There is life and a sacredness of life. And they saw the baby. And in seeing that, they gave the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. How many of you know the story of what they mean? And frankly, for me, having learned it a long time ago, I've kind of set it aside. But again, in my kind of yearning and the capacity to re-engage parts of the story that have been so familiar to me and ask, God, what do you again want to teach me? Again, I felt in that midst of a rolling economy that we're in, the commodity of gold is chosen by some to be kind of a secure source and not trusting other parts of the market. That's not a market recommendation. I'm just passing on information. But gold had been a standard then. It is a standard today. It was a sign of the royalty. Unfortunately, the thing was going back in the day of Jesus and is in today that the one who has most gold is the winner in life. False, I know. But the one who understands what the gold can signify in purpose of the kingdom, what money and the resources of gold and the purposes of God, the opportunities it can create, giving more than $55,000 for a global mission offering when our goal was $50,000 is part of taking the gold into the purpose of God's global work. The offerings that we give each week and the life and the ministry of Jesus kind of catches the attention of sharing the gospel in strange times in our ministries that have adapted and pivoted. Staying on purpose meant they came and they brought their worship of the commodity of the world and they gave it to the Christ even as we give our offerings so that all that we have we know belongs to God. When they gave the frankincense, they were giving an anointing perfume. That in the Hebrew scriptures, when the new king was anointed, he was anointed with a certain oil, a frankincense. It was a sign that only one was able to wear that oil, have that scent on him or in the royal family. And when Mary, at the end of Jesus' life, shortly before his crucifixion, when he would show truly that he was the Messiah by how he was willing to die on the cross for our sins to be forgiven, you recall the story in John 19, how she anointed him with very valuable oil and spices. It was the anointing of the king and the myrrh. We find again in the Gospel of John that they went and anointed Jesus' body that had died on the cross, was being buried in the grave with myrrh as a way of signing the anointment of love. This is what the foresight, this is what the capacity of curiosity, this is what the truth of obedience brought the wise man to tell the story. And on visiting the manger, we now say, a Merry Christmas. For the word Mary is a sense of mirth, it's a happiness, it's a sense of the wonder of arriving on the scene. And now we are to let our lives be the source of the ongoing reset button for our world to be a sign that God's grace is at work in us and in our world, that we may have a faith to see what God is showing, the light that is shining when others may only see darkness. But you, like on Christmas Eve, and holding that candle, whether at home or here in the sanctuary, when Jesus said, you're the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do let your light be hidden under a bushel, but let it shine for all to see. That's the power of your life in faith that is ignited with the power of God's capacity to show his love through you and to the lives of others. Bottom line in 2021, live in light of God. When you go to bed this evening, and my prayer is that you will maybe put it in your own words, that may be different words, but something like this. When you go to bed each evening, ask, did you live in light of God? And when you awaken in the day, maybe in your own words and your own prayer, but let it be something like this. Lord, may I live in your light so others may see. Oh, then this 2021, it will show all that we have learned from the 2020 saga. And it will take us all that a year from now, by the grace of God, of how the kingdom has grown and expanded, because for such a time as this, you live in the light of God.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.